Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, Abiyaz Karim, and Henry Walker. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The Kingston Canadian Film Festival has announced that the award-winning documentary Blue Rodeo, Lost Together will be the closing night film on Sunday, March 2nd. This screening will bring Blue Rodeo co-founder and Queen's University alumnus Jim Cuddy back to Kingston alongside co-founder Greg Keeler and director Dale Heslip. Cuddy and Keeler narrate the film, telling the story of Toronto band Blue Rodeo from their beginnings to their current status as one of Canada's most cherished bands. In anticipation of the event, we spoke with Jim Cuddy and director Dale Heslip about what festival attendees can expect. What can audiences expect from this film closing out KCFF this year?
Oh, I think it's fantastic that it's closing the Kingston Film Festival. I think it's fantastic that Jim and Greg went to Queen, so it's going to have this sort of this emotional connection, because it kind of all started there. It started on a car ride going from Kingston to Toronto, and they decided to make a band, and they've been together ever since. So we've been getting a lot of really great reaction to the film, and it played at the Whistler Film Festival in December. It played at the Salt Spring Film Festival just last week. It's playing the Hot Docs Theater Saturday night. Sold out. Jim, Greg, myself, and Erica M are going to do a Q&A. Then it's doing Cineplex across the country, 38 theaters across the country, February 2 and 3 before it comes to Kingston. So I don't know. The ticket sales have been going crazy. There's obviously a ton of Blue Rodeo fans out there. And I don't know. We really like it. I have to say, when we heard that the band liked the doc after we sent it to them, I was like, yes, thank God. But the fans have been reacting the same way. There's a real nice honesty to this doc, and it's a really nice way to get to know the band, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Jim, how is it for you to be, you know, reflecting back?
You know what? It was a real joy to go down memory lane to do the doc. But it also uncovered some uncomfortable times. I mean, I think in a 40-year span, life together, there are going to be some difficult times. And maybe those times were a little more difficult than I remember. And so it was good to drop my suppressed guard and just take things for the way they were, because now they're good. And so it's easier to look back on the difficult times when times are rosy. It's amazing. I think that Greg and I started as high school friends. And so I think that for any of this to have happened to us would be unimaginable. I think we both realized at a certain time we wanted to absorb ourselves in music for the rest of our lives, but whether we were going to be able to do that or not, who knew? And so to find ourselves here, even talking about a documentary, is full of gratitude and wonder.
Cuddy also dove into his time at Queen's prior to Blue Rodeo and his roots in Kingston.
Right. Well, I graduated from Queen's in 78, and Greg picked me up, and I told him that I wanted to devote 1 year to music, and then I would go to law school or something. And he said, well, let's get a band. And so from that car ride till now, we've had a band. So we planned a band. We got a band called the Hi-Fis. That played for about 3 years in Toronto. Then we moved to New York, and we had a band down there where my wife, girlfriend at the time, went to acting school. And it wasn't until we came back to Toronto in 84 and got Blue Rodeo together in 85. So that had been, you know, I'd been out of school 7 years at that point. And it wasn't until that point that we got this band that we thought, wow, this is a really good band. I mean, we had Cleve and Basil, and then we had Bobby Wiseman. And I think no matter what had happened to us, we would have been happy that that band was so good and played our song so well. So, and then it goes from there. But that we had a very strong start. After 7 years of you know, of meandering. We had a very strong start when we finally got Blue Rodeo together.
Well, how does it feel to be returning to Kingston after all these years?
Well, I love Kingston, and I probably play there once a year. Like, my roots in Kingston go way back. My parents went to Queens. My dad came there. My mom was from Prince Edward County, so she obviously wanted to go to Queens and wanted to get out of Prince Edward County. And my dad came as a war vet, and they met and they married, and then they had their life, had their kids, they divorced. And then when we were young parents, when I was a young parent with my wife, my parents went back to Queens and remarried. So that's two marriages. My wife and I met at Queens, and now our youngest son, who just married his girlfriend, they met at Queens well. So we're three generations and four marriages, one couple twice.
Yeah, so it must be special to kind of, you know, be returning for this.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, I loved it. I loved it in Kingston. I loved my years in Queens, and I love going back. There's something very inspiring about it. There's something very tranquil about it, and yet there's a lot of energy on the campus, and it's not too bro for me, and it's a great place.
Once again, that was co-founder of band Blue Rodeo, Jim Cuddy, and director Dale Heslip on the documentary Blue Rodeo Lost Together, closing out KCFF this year. Kingston Economic Development Corporation is in the midst of a collaboration with BGC Southeast and the Dun & Deshpande Queens Innovation Center to launch a high school innovation club to inspire the next generation of innovators and entrepreneurs. The club is hosted at the newly opened BGC Southeast STEM and Robotics Center at 1300 Bath Road, one of the largest youth STEM hubs in Canada. Now 3 weeks in, High School Innovation Club participants collaborate to create and pitch business or product ideas while learning entrepreneurship basics. Associate Director with STEM and Strategic Initiatives of BGC Southeast, Bruna Moraes, spoke with CFRC about this new club. This was quite a collaborative effort. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to how this all came together.
Yeah, for sure. So we have recently launched our STEM and Robotics Center at BGC, which is a 9,000 square foot facility with a lot of really cool equipment and programming for STEM and trades. But we knew that we wanted to have some programming in the areas of innovation and entrepreneurship as well. And in partnership with the Limestone District School Board, we know that we have, we can reach a really good number of youth, but we wanted to really take advantage of Kingston's really cool startup ecosystem. So we partnered with Kingston Economic Development Corporation and the Dun & Deshpande Queens Innovation Center to really have the experts in business and entrepreneurship be able to deliver this content to the youth and the network that we already have.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of learning opportunities are you offering? What are these workshops looking like?
Yeah, so for this specific high school innovation club, we're really taking these kids that are curious about starting their own business or creating a startup on the process of doing so. So we start out by talking about what is an innovator's mindset, how do you go about the process of ideating an idea, the design thinking methodology, and then all things such as the costing, the pricing, the marketing, the financials. So all the elements that they kind of need to consider to really be in that early on process to start a business.
I was wondering if you could dive a bit into the importance of having programs like this for youth. What kind of gap is this filling?
Yeah, of course. We definitely think that, you know, in this new world that we have where things are rapidly evolving so quickly, we think that equipping participants with entrepreneurial tools like this, it's not just business knowledge, but it's things like critical thinking and problem solving and market research and project management and teamwork and communication. We think these, you know, life and professional skills are really important for the youth. We think for the economic development of the region, having students that want to create their own businesses. So not only are they creating better futures for themselves, but they're also, you know, contributing to Kingston's continued growth as this innovation hub and business hub.
Mm-hmm. And what are you seeing and hearing from students so far? What kind of feedback are you getting?
I mean, I love just hearing the students, because most of the students that came in, they're already in the Limestone School District School Board entrepreneurship program, where they can just receive some seed funding for their businesses. But they were looking for more training. So this is where this partnership kind of came together. And the students really have such incredible ideas, and they're such go-getters. And so it's really cool to see students that are, you know, studying and living their normal student life, but they're really going out of their way. And they already seem like they know so much about business, but hearing them ask all, like, just be very engaged during the sessions and ask really thoughtful questions, I think was really great to see. We can see that there is an interest there, and that they're already kind of on the path to growing their businesses.
What kind of businesses are these students starting? How is this training kind of contributing to that?
Yeah, so we're, from the students that have been part so far, we've seen a lot of more artistic businesses. So some students that, you know, are painting with acrylic on different canvases, some students that are doing portraits of deceased pets, some students that are doing like Christmas cards. But also there are like different ideas. I think one of them is about creating this biodegradable plastic fishing lure as well. So yeah, it'll be exciting. It'll be exciting to see as well, because part of the program that we're trying to do is they already have some momentum with the products that they have now in their businesses. And we're trying to also help them see what are new products that they can develop, or how can they make this business scale and sustainable in the future. So maybe we'll see some new ideas come out as well.
Are you looking to run anything like this in the future, or run this program again?
We definitely are. This was definitely our initial trial. We do, we're working on a partnership with the City of Kingston as well for the Mayor's Innovation Challenge. We want to do a junior version of it. And so it'll be a bit similar to that, but we think it will probably have an aspect of technology. So helping kids come up with these innovative business ideas, with some sort of technology element in there. So that's something that we have probably coming up in the near future. And if not, we would love to just continue and expand this entrepreneurship and business program, for the youth.
Claire Ricks, a grade 7 student in the program, also provided a written quote to CFRC, stating, quote, "This program has been very helpful. The workshops have taught me so much about growing a small business. They have helped me take my small business to the next level," end quote. Simon Denford with Kingston Economic Development, who is also delivering some of the modules in the program, had the following to say in an interview with CFRC. "I know Kingston Economic Development, you provide workshops for all of our community members, but I was wondering if you could speak a bit to the importance of providing these workshops specifically for youth and how that's kind of different than your regular programming."
Okay, great question. So I would say it's important because there is, in my opinion, there is a drastic difference in how young people learn versus how a lot of adults learn. So what I've seen is hands-on is the best for both groups. But when it comes to a lot of young individuals, it's knowing a bit of the theory and then a lot of practical. So it's really taking a bit of what you learned, but then making your own mistakes. So mistakes when you're younger, they fall off our back, as water off a duck's back, I think, in the saying. And that is truly the case that we see. And so we spend our 2-hour sessions on Monday nights. The first half hour is instruction. So it's about talking about the theory of it. And then we go into the concrete aspects of it. It's, let's test out some things. Let's play around with material. Let's think up ideas. Let's brainstorm. And another thing that has worked really well with these young entrepreneurs is just networking. Getting to know other people who are in similar situations and figuring out. And then in a collaborative setting of just bouncing out around ideas. It was one of my favorite aspects of the first session I went to, of just watching these three young entrepreneurs pass around ideas of what they've done and what they hope to do.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Good evening, folks. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you're listening to our segment, Campus Corner, your go-to source for campus updates. We have got a packed week ahead with events that focus on Black History Month, mental health, leadership training, and professional development. Let's get into it. Kicking things off, Monday, February 3rd, marks the start of Black Histories and Future Month at Queen's. Join the Black Student Club's Caucus and Human Rights and Equity Office for a powerful opening event at Mitchell Hall's Rose Innovation Hub from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. This year's theme is Threads Weaving Black Joy and Experiences at Queen's, and it will also feature a panel discussion on the methods to the magic of Black Joy, plus an exciting performance by the ACSA dance troupe. You can stay afterwards for refreshments and a networking session. For more details, contact Jeremiah Marshall at jbm15@queensu.ca. For those in advising roles, there is a must-attend professional development workshop on Tuesday, February 4th. It's from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at McIntosh Corey Hall, room B176. This professional advanced coaching workshop will help advisors build emotional intelligence, active listening, and boundary setting skills to navigate complex and emotional student discussions. The session will include theory, case studies, and hands-on practice to improve your coaching techniques. This workshop is free, but registration is required. For more information, reach out to Joel Axel Richard at jmlr@queensu.ca. On Wednesday, February 5th, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Queen's is offering an online workshop, Mental Health Leadership Certificate Program, a first-of-its-kind initiative in Canada. Developed in partnerships with Bell Canada Mental Health and Anti-Stigma Research Chair. This program equips leaders with practical strategies for fostering a psychologically healthy workplace. Participants will complete an e-learning module before the live session on February 5th, with additional coursework running until May 5th, 2025. The fee is $375 and it will be charged to your department, and cancellations within 10 business days will incur a $50 administration fee. For more details, contact Daniel Diaz at daniel.diaz@queensu.ca. That's your campus update for this week. A celebration of Black excellence, skills for navigating student advising, and a groundbreaking mental health leadership program. Whether you're looking to engage in social justice, professional growth, or workplace well-being, Queen's has it all for you this week. And that's a wrap. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you were listening to our segment Campus Corner. Over to Isabella for Sports After.
Thank you, Isabella. History was made in Mobile, Alabama, as Canadian Taylor L. Gersma became the first U Sports quarterback to play in the NCAA's Senior Bowl. The 6'5" signal caller turned heads with impressive physical measurables during the week. Of all quarterbacks rated, L. Gersma was the tallest, had the largest hands, and had the longest wingspan. These physical attributes and L. Gersma's fearless play style led some to compare him to Buffalo Bills superstar quarterback Josh Allen. L. Gersma's direct draft comparison, however, is less hyperbolic. L. Gersma was compared to an infamous draft bust, quarterback Paxton Lynch. Lynch, a similarly long, lean, and deceptively athletic player, was taken by the Denver Broncos in the first round of the 2016 draft. Though Lynch's career did not pan out, some scouts are more confident that, with the right situation, L. Gersma could have a good pro career. Brock Vieira, a writer with Sports Illustrated, noted that L. Gersma's best fit would be with the Los Angeles Rams, where he would have time to learn behind their veteran, future Hall of Fame quarterback Matthew Stafford. L. Gersma himself slyly acknowledged this connection during his Media Day interviews, noting that he, quote, likes to watch how Stafford operates. Vieira added that he feels L. Gersma has 6th or 7th round potential and that he would be, quote, a great project for LA. The Rams would be the ideal situation for L. Gersma, but there is no shortage of quarterback-hungry teams in this year's NFL draft. Other teams that may take a flyer on the London-born quarterback include the New Orleans Saints, the Cleveland Browns, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. L. Gersma's performance during the Senior Bowl has only added fuel to these draft flames. He connected on a beautiful 43-yard pass in the second half that was equal parts power and finesse. We do not know if Taylor Elgersma will be selected in the NFL draft. No matter what happens in April, however, he has broken new ground for Canadian football and blazed an unlikely trail from U Sports to the apex of professional football. This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, February 3rd, and this is kind of the odd day out this week, preceded by two very chilly days here in the city of Kingston and followed up by two additionally cold days. Monday, February 3rd sees a daytime high of 3 degrees with a 40% chance of precipitation, dropping back down to minus 11 overnight. Tuesday, February 4th, we will see a daytime high of minus 5 with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping back down to minus 11 overnight with a 30% chance of flurries. Wednesday, February 5th, see a daytime high of minus 3 with a 40% chance of flurries, staying steady at minus 3 overnight with a 60% chance of snow. Thursday, February 6th, we'll see a daytime high of 1 degree with a 60% chance of snow throughout the day, dropping down to minus 8 overnight. Friday, February 7th, daytime high of minus 5, mix of sun and cloud, and a 30% chance of flurries. Saturday, February 8th, going to be a little bit colder with a daytime high of minus 5, but an overnight low of minus 14. Sunday, February 9th, we're going to see slightly warmer weather, daytime high of minus 1, overnight low of minus 9, with a 60% chance of snow flurries. And Monday, February 10th, we are going to see a daytime high of minus 3, a mix of sun and cloud during the day, and it's going to drop down to minus 12 overnight. This is Jesse Bell with the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week of Monday, February 3rd, 2025. We begin with the road closures. Aberdeen Street, William DeJohnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Princess to 486 Albert is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Avenue Road, McMahon to 283 Avenue is closed February 3rd at 7 a.m. to February 17th at 7 p.m. for a service connection replacement. Earl to Aberdeen and Division closed February 3rd to 10th to support construction activity. Frontenac Street, Brock to Johnson is closed February 4th and 5th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day for the replacement of a service connection. King Street, Young to Sir John A. McDonald is closed February 6th from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. for filming at Kingston Penitentiary. If a weather event occurs February 6th, the closure will take place from February 7th from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. Again, that's only if a weather event occurs to delay filming. Market Street, King to Ontario closed January 27th to February 21st for the Spirit of Winter. Queen Street, Division to Clergy closed until February 7th for the demolition of 283 Queen Street. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue.
Once again, this is Henry, CFRC intern from the Department of History, continuing with this week's events calendar. The West End Run Club, Loggers and Joggers, meets at Fine Balance Brewing Company at 7 p.m. on Monday. Also on Monday, both One-Eyed Jacks and The Brass will be hosting their weekly trivia night starting at 7:45 and 8 p.m. respectively. On Tuesday, the Kingston Public Market runs at Springer Market Square from 8:30 to 4 p.m. The Lululemon Weekly Fun Run meets at 270 Princess Street from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Also on Tuesday, Euchre Night is happening at Daft Brewing from 7 to 9 p.m. On Wednesday, the Grad Club will be hosting the Open Stage Drag Show starting at 8 p.m. Those interested in performing should arrive before 7:45 or during intermission around 9 p.m. Performance slots are first come, first serve. The Mansion will also be hosting karaoke starting at 9. Also on Wednesday, both Something in the Water and Daft Brewing will be hosting their trivia nights starting at 7 p.m. On Thursday, Big Ticket, a new play by Jim Gerard, opens at the Grand Theater with tickets available online for roughly $33. Performances will continue up until the 23rd. Also, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Friday, both Daft Brewing and The Buckle will be hosting karaoke night starting at 9 p.m. Also, the City of Kingston's Spirit of Winter Festival continues at Springer Market Square with festivities starting for the 7th day in a row at 6 p.m. On Saturday, the Kingston Public Market runs at Springer Market Square starting at 8:30 a.m. Also on Saturday, a Valentine's pop-up market is going to take place at the Tet Center from 10:30 a.m. onwards. And on Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market is taking place starting at 9 a.m. An oil paint techniques four scene workshop is taking place at 370 King Street, also at 9. And finally, the Toucan will be hosting karaoke starting at 10:30. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Hello, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History. Here's today's concert and events calendar. Starting with concerts, coming up on Monday, Oscar Evans and Michael Broadhead will be hosting the Kingston Jazz Society's Jazz Jam at the RCHA Club starting at 4:30. There's a $5 cover fee. On Tuesday, Tom's Tuesday Happy Hour Jam will be taking place at the RCHA from 4 to 7. Also, Michael Zizek will be performing at Tommy's from 8 to 9 p.m. free of charge. On Wednesday, Hotel Wolf Island will have Mike Rapkins hosting their free weekly open mic night from 8:30 to 11:30. Tiernanod will also be hosting their free open mic night with host Logan Brown starting at 7. On Thursday, Toronto band The Sadies and Kingston alt-folk rock musician Evan Jackson will be performing at the Broom Factory at 7:30 with tickets available online for $30. The instrumental jazz and Latin group Clear Breeze will be performing a free show at Hotel Wolf Island from 6 to 9 p.m. And on Thursday, the John McLeod Band is going to be playing at the RCHA Club starting at 7 p.m. with a $5 cover charge. On Friday, Grammy Award-winning jazz musician Branford Marsalis will be playing with his quartet at the Isabel from 7:30 to 9. Tickets are available online for $92. Busty and the Bass, alongside Zach Zoya, will be performing at the Broom Factory at 7:30 with tickets going for just over $25. Also, the Toucan's going to have the Gertrudes playing from 5 to 8 p.m. at a free gig on Friday. On Saturday, the group Heatwave will be playing a collection of hits from The Supremes, Stevie Wonder, and many more from 8 to 11 p.m. at the RCHA Club, cover fee of $25. Tiernanod has the band Three Pistols booked for a free gig from 9 to 12, and the groups Potions and Poplar will be playing from 8:30 to 11 p.m. at Hotel Wolf Island. On Sunday, the Kingston Symphony will be performing from 2:30 to 4 at the Isabel, with tickets ranging from $20 to $50. And finally, local Kingston singer-songwriter Jonathan Jones will be performing at Spearhead Brewery from 2 to 5 p.m. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.